You're listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominey. Out Loud Bible Project is on a mission to read the entire Bible out loud in a conversational and approachable way, so you can recognize your part in this conversation between you and God.
Hey, welcome back to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast. We're reading the Bible out loud in a conversational way so that we can recognize the Bible as a conversation and we can find our next best yes in our relationship with God. In the book of Numbers, last episode, we talked about Balaam, who was invited by one of Israel's enemies to curse them because they were getting too big and too strong and too scary for the people living in the land that God had promised. And so Balaam, interestingly, a prophet of Yahweh, but based on his practices, probably considered him a prophet of all of the gods. And God used him. God spoke to him. Balaam not fully committed to the Lord, didn't exactly know how to best communicate with God, but God used him. But God also spoke through his donkey, too. So don't think too highly of yourself, I guess. We'll pick up the story here in Numbers chapter 25, after the fact that Balaam was not able to curse Israel, because God would not allow that. He had to bless them. And Moab was not able to take over Israel by brute strength, because Israel was too many. But Moab was able to infiltrate Israel in another way. And Israel was willing to let it happen. Let's see what happens here in Numbers chapter 25, and we'll read and summarize through chapter 31. Israel stayed in Shittim, and the people began to play the prostitute with the daughters of Moab, for they called the people just the sacrifices of their gods. The people ate and bowed down to their gods. Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, and Yahweh's anger burned against Israel. Yahweh said to Moses, "Take all the chiefs of the people and hang them up to Yahweh before the sun, that the fierce anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel." Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Everyone kill his men who have joined themselves to Baal Peor." And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought to his brothers a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel while they were weeping at the door of the tent of meeting. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from the middle of the congregation, took a spear in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the pavilion and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I didn't consume the children of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace. It shall be to him and to his offspring after him the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel." Now the name of the man of Israel that was slain, who was slain with a Midianite woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of the father's house among the Simeonites. The name of the Midianite woman who was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of a father's house in Midian. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Harass the Midianites and strike them, for they harassed you with their wiles, wherein that they have deceived you in the matter of Peor, and the congregation regarding Cozbi, the daughter of the prince of Midian, their sister, who was slain on the day of the plague in the matter of Peor." Chapter 26 now outlines a census of all of the men of Israel, and it lists the tribes and their leaders and the number in each tribe, and Let me just cut to the chase here. The total number of the men of Israel was 601,730, and that's just the men. So again, we're talking millions of people when you count all of their families. At the end of chapter 26, it concludes, "These are the ones counted by Moses and Eleazar the priest when they counted the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. Not one of them was among those counted by Moses and Aaron the priest when they counted the Israelites in the desert of Sinai. For the Lord had told those Israelites they would surely die in the wilderness. And not one of them was left except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun." Chapter 27. "Then the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, came near. These are the names of his daughters, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation at the door of the tent of meeting, saying, 'Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against Yahweh in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin. He had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from among his family because he had no son? Give to us a possession from among the brothers of our father.' Moses brought their cause before Yahweh. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, 'The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. You shall surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brothers. You shall cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. You shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, If a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give the inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his kinsman, who is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. This shall be a statute and ordinance for the children of Israel, as Yahweh commanded Moses.' Yahweh said to Moses, 'Go up into this mountain of Abarim and see the land which I have given the children of Israel. When you have seen it, you shall also be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. Because of the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my word in the wilderness of Zin, to honor me as holy as the waters before their eyes.'" These are the waters of Meribah of Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Moses spoke to Yahweh, saying, "Let Yahweh, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who may go out before them and who may come in before them and who may lead them out and who may bring them in, that the congregation of Yahweh may not be as sheep which have no shepherd." Yahweh said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and commission him in their sight. You shall give authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may obey. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before Yahweh. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation." Moses did as Yahweh commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. He laid his hands on him and commissioned him as Yahweh spoke by Moses. The next few chapters have just some more processes and procedures here in the book of Numbers. Chapter 28 outlines the process for daily offerings, Sabbath offerings, monthly offerings, the Passover, and the Festival of Weeks. Again, developing these routines daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly, so that it would just ingrain into God's people's DNA this idea that we are God's people. We owe him everything. He brought us out of slavery. He freed us from death. And now we're his people. So let his praise be on our lips. Let's give him offerings every day, every week, every month, every year. And let's build that into our calendar, our culture, our way of life. So this is just how we live. There's a lot we can learn from Israel in the way that they build their culture around these routines, not only to honor God because he said so, but in order to keep him important in their life, to keep him present in their life, and to keep reminding themselves of the fact that they are God's people. In chapter 29, he continues with the processes and the procedures around the Festival of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Festival of Tabernacles. Again, a good reminder of what do we do? What do we have? How do we celebrate in our lives to remember what God has done? Is it something that we do regularly? Is it something we could maybe do yearly to remember what God has done, what he's led us through? Or do we just kind of let those things live in the past and forget? And so when we come across a similar struggle in the future, do we just kind of have to trudge through it as if we're experiencing it for the first time? Or can we let the faith built from past experiences and past victories build our strength to be able to handle new, bigger obstacles now with greater faith and greater reliance on God? Chapter 30 gives rules around vows. Basically, don't be dumb with your vows. Don't say things you don't mean. Don't vow before God if you 100% absolutely cannot keep it. Just be careful with your vows, with other people, and with God. And now in chapter 31, there's a whole detailed explanation of how the Israelites get vengeance on the Midianites and sweep up some of the enemies around them. It's kind of bittersweet because this is one of the final acts of Moses now before he dies. He can't enter the promised land because of the sin that he committed when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it and didn't revere the word of the Lord as he should. High standards for God's leader of the people of Israel. But Moses accepts his fate humbly, and now he enacts some of his final commands and final instructions to the people of Israel. Chapter 31. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Avenge the children of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people." Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Arm men from among you for war, that they may go against Midian to execute Yahweh's vengeance on Midian. You shall send 1,000 out of every tribe throughout all the tribes of Israel to the war." So they were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 from every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Moses sent them, 1,000 of every tribe, to the war, with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war, with the vessels of the sanctuary and the trumpets for the alarm in his hand. They fought against Midian, as Yahweh commanded Moses. They killed every male. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of their slain, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with a sword. The children of Israel took the women of Midian captive with their little ones, and all their livestock, all their flocks, and all their goods as they took as plunder. All their cities in the place in which they lived, and all their encampments they burned with fire. They took all the captives and all the plunder, both of man and of animal. And they brought the captives with the prey and the plunder to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the congregation of the children of Israel to the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by the Jordan at Jericho. Moses and Eleazar the priest, with all the princes of the congregation, went out to meet them outside the camp, and Moses was angry with the officers of the army, the captains of the thousands and the captains of hundreds who came from the service of the war. Moses said to them, "Have you saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against Yahweh in the matter of Peor, and so the plague was among the congregation of Yahweh." The chapter goes on to explain how Moses commands them to kill the remaining captives and to divide the plunder and to give to God what belongs to God of all the plunder. And we see the importance that God places on purity and a full consecration when it comes to going about his work. We think of Phinehas and the zeal with which he went and absolutely murdered a perpetrator of a heinous sin right in front of everyone in a very public way. And it seems extreme, like, whoa, he just murdered them in front of everybody. Like, but yet God was pleased. God was pleased because Phinehas's heart was like, no, this is wrong. We've been prostituting ourselves, not just to these women, but to these gods. And we're spitting in the face of God. We can't keep doing this. We can't keep going to other things, hoping and looking for the things that God provides. God is the one true God. We can't go to all of these other sources of power, hoping that they're going to give us what we want. God is jealous for us. God wants us. God knows that he is the only one who can give us what we need. We're made to live with him and through him and by him. May we have the zeal of Phineas to, like Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever is of earthly things in our life. David prays, search my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. Create in me a clean heart. We need this Phineas-level zeal if we're going to be going about God's work. We cannot let Satan have a foothold in our life. We can't let him worm his way into our lives because we've allowed ourselves to mingle with things that are not of God. That's the Thinking Out Loud thought for today.
You've been listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominy. When you become a patron of Out Loud Bible Project, you help make the Bible accessible for people who desperately need to know they have a role in this conversation with God. To learn more, visit outloudbible.com and click Support This Project. Thanks for listening.